This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
All right. Going to ask you something here, too. There's a chapter there about bloodsuckers. And you think of a vampire legend where, of course, the vampire could always change to something else.
Yeah.
Quite often he'd be a wolf.
Well, yeah, in the old stories, you know, the vampire could turn into, like you said, a wolf, a black cat, a bat, you know, and so we have that shapeshifter angle. And I talk about that in the book to demonstrate the folkloric angle of vampires and how the phenomenon began. But one of the things I talk about more in that chapter is the Chupacabra of Puerto Rico, which, you know, many people have perceived as a definitive vampire, in the sense that it's the term Chupacabra is Spanish for goat sucker, because a lot of the animals that originally, or initially I should say, attacked were goats, and the stories were that, you know, massive amounts of blood were drained from their bodies. And I've been to Puerto Rico on many occasions doing expeditions to the looking for the Chupacabra, and every time I've been there I've heard stories of this sort of blood draining angle. But why I include that in the book is because, again, people, in the same way people talked about Mothman taking on different forms, that's exactly what I've had with the Chupacabra on Puerto Rico. When I went there in 2004, a lot of the stories I had were the traditional ones that came out from the mid-90s, where people saw this creature, like a fast-running creature about the size of and design of a chimpanzee, but without hair, and having this sort of row of spikes down its head and neck, and sometimes with these vicious-looking claws and fangs. Now, other people swore that they saw something just like that, but which had what you would almost call like bat-like wings, like membranous wings, that kind of thing, which did give it reportedly like an almost looking like a giant bat, something along those lines. Now, there are other cases where people said to me they saw these things up close and personal and said that they had sort of bright, feathery wings. And again, to be so close and to see something, it's difficult to see how they could mistake one thing for another. So I've had people tell me on Puerto Rico of sightings of what they were sure with the Chupacabra, but looked incredibly different to somebody else's description. Now, I think it's way too much to accept that there could be multiple four or five different types of unknown animal on Puerto Rico. I don't believe that. But the idea that the Chupacabra could be some sort of supernatural thing, which echoes kind of the Mothman stories, that does make me think that this lesser-known angle of the Chupacabra, you know, and there could be a shapeshifter tie-in there as well, unless, you know, the witnesses are mistaken, which isn't impossible. But, you know, I do point out that in some cases the descriptions were radically different, but still kind of similar, you know, with the wings and the humanoid-type body.
Flying people.
Yeah, flying people, which is like an even more bizarre angle. But you get those everywhere. I mean, you have the Owlman in England, Mothman in the United States. Back in the early 50s, in the city of Houston had a wave of sightings of what became known as the Houston Batman. That's what the press called it back in 53. And you can find a few stories online on this little-known tale.
And the fact, of course, that his name was Bruce Wayne didn't impact matters, did it?
Exactly.
My son was born on February 19th, which happens to be one of the alleged birthdays of Bruce Wayne. I mean, there are other birth dates, too, but February 19th applies to him and also to the young actor who plays Bruce Wayne in Gotham.
You're the only person I know, Gene, that could remember something, Bruce Wayne's birthday.
Well, it's my son, so I obviously consider it significant. Of course, he's not the Batman type, but, you know, what the heck?
You seriously frighten me.
Well, wait till you see what happens when the moon is full and bright.
Yeah.
I don't know much about comic books, unfortunately, if anything. But yeah, I mean, just doing the research in the book, you know, I realized how much, you know, the issue of shape-shifting has come into sort of popular culture in the modern era, not just in movies, you know, but graphic novels and all sorts.
Well, I think even if you go back to the early 40s, I mentioned, of course, Shazam, which is the command that turns young Billy Batson into the magic superhero Captain Marvel. That's a shape-shifting operation. You got this skinny nerd who becomes this big, powerful creature, a human being, certainly, but he was the rival to Superman at one time. And that's one person. It's not like Clark Kent and Superman where it's the same guy pulling off the glasses. It's a completely different shape, a completely different voice, etc.
Yeah, and I mean, again, that kind of demonstrates the different aspects of what is defined as shape-shifting. It's not one thing. It's mimicking, it's physical changes, it's changes in the mind, you know, supernatural changes, you know, sort of taking on almost like a camouflage kind of angle. So it can mean all things to different people. And, I think that's an important thing to remember, that it's not just one angle. And when we look into these alternative angles as well, like I said, we see a lot of connections and parallels, which lead me to believe that it is a legitimate phenomenon. But, you know, as I said, the science of this is so far out that even trying to begin to rationalize it and understand it is almost a non-starter, you know.
Well, unless you assume that in every case here, the shapeshifters are just an illusion to some degree. It's almost like a kind of mass hypnosis or self-hypnosis or something. You're seeing something in a different form, but that's not what's there.
Well, that's not at all impossible. You know, the idea that somebody is being sort of driven to see something that may be almost like a sophisticated hologram or something like that, rather than, you know, a physical event. I mean, I guess the closest thing I could think of in the fictional world would be kind of like, you know, the Matrix movies, where we're living in this extremely realistic-looking world, which is, you know, you cannot sort of define it from, not from the real world, but it isn't real. You know, it's a dream, and we're living in like this sophisticated program. Well, maybe some encounters occur in that, you know, there's evidence that some Men in Black cases might occur in that kind of scenario, where if anybody else was in the room, they might just see the witness sitting there vacantly on the couch. But for the witness, you know, there are these three or four MIB surrounding them, threatening them. But it could be, you know, like a sophisticated hologram projection. And of course, if you've got a hologram and you're projecting something, well, then who knows how many, you know, tweaks you could make to make it change its form. So I think that angle of like a deceptive hologram or a camouflage could actually explain a lot of cases, and could explain them perhaps quite easily as well, you know, if it's not a physical change, but it's sort of a projection in front of the eye of the person, so to speak.
So the question would be, who is doing the projection?
Well, I mean, one of the things I would say that crops up in not all shapeshifters, and certainly not the majority, but it does crop up in some of them, is that when the people see these shapeshifters, they sometimes feel kind of sick and ill and weak and shaky. And so one of the things that I kind of suspect, and it is a suspicion, you know, I admit to that, I don't have proof, but I do wonder if they're almost sort of like energy suckers, you know, they're like a psychic vampire in the sense that they feed on the human life force, on energy. And maybe the whole point of transforming into these sort of frightening and terrifying images is to amp up the fear factor, which gets all these stress chemicals pumping around, and then they perhaps even feed on them parasitically, you know. And so maybe that the whole point is that they need to be seen to stay alive, because they feed on us, and they can only feed on us if they've got the required high levels of stress chemicals and, you know, energy levels swarming around us. So I do wonder if, you know, the whole point of shape-shifting and being seen, the goal of it is, in a very strange way, you know, we're their food almost.
They have to suck up the energy. Suck up this, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be back in a moment. With Nick Redfern, Gene, and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
In an emergency, you need a fire now. But what if the wood is wet? No problem for InstaFire. Our non-toxic fire starter packs lights wet wood, floats, and can even burn on water or in any weather. Sustains winds up to 30 miles per hour, and each pouch weighs only 1.75 ounces. Need an emergency or camp stove? Get the InstaFire Inferno stove that boils 20 ounces of water in under 3 minutes with controllable heat and temp from 425 to 1500 degrees. Free shipping. Go to InstaFire.com and use discount code Radio30 up to 3 times for 30% off your order. InstaFire. Fire in an instant.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
That voice is getting hoarser and hoarser.
That's how I was talking like 3 years ago, 3 weeks ago when I got sick.
Right, you know, he was originally going to be on a couple of weeks back, and he said, you know, I don't know if you really want me on because I have this chest thing.
Yeah,
I've been dealing with a nasty ass chest cold for the past week and a half. In fact, my voice was almost gone after I got in last night.
No way. That's not good.
No.
Well, I got mine on a cruise ship, and I actually did lose my voice for like half a day. And I mean, without getting too graphic, I mean, the amount of green crap I was coughing up.
I know.
Like, oh, my God. It was like, well, I won't go into details, but you get the picture, sir.
I'm still dealing with it. So.
But yeah, I got it on a cruise ship, and I think it's probably with all that circulated air, like when you're on a plane or whatever.
Yeah. I caught mine on the flight coming back from Denver. Yeah. Little babies are sick and coughing. Oh, it was awful.
I had a little bit of that a couple of weeks back where I was coughing a lot, and I thought maybe somebody I was taking during the ride-hailing gigs that I do, and one of the passengers possibly had a cold or a cough, and you can't say, get out. Get out of my car, or you will be exterminated. It's a lousy invitation.
That is a hazard, though, flying and whatever is...
There's
always somebody on that plane who's sick with something. So.
Well, when little babies are coughing, God knows how powerful, those bugs are, because their immune systems are just so, jacked up and powerful to begin with. The bugs are going to be exceptionally robust.
It's totally off subject, of course, but I mean, I hardly ever get colds or get anything like that at all, and whether it has a benefit on it or not, but I have a lime every day. I eat a lime every day, packed with vitamin C. Well, I have one every day. I literally have like 365 limes a year.
Wow. Yeah, I love lime.
So yeah, I just chop them into four quarters and just munch them down. But it's only a small fruit, but I mean, yeah, one every day for a year, that's a ton of limes. So.
Yeah, that's true.
There is an album called Nilsson Schmilsson, where he sings a song called She Put the Lime in the Coconut.
I probably damage it, though, by drinking too much alcohol, so who knows, it probably balances out.
Well, what's the line in the song, Gene? I called the doc and woke him up and said, doctor.
It says she put the lime in the coconut. She called the doctor, woke him up, and said, doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, doctor, to relieve this belly ache. I said, doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I'll tell you, he had to be in a pretty strange state of mind when Harry Nilsson wrote this song.
I've not heard that at all.
Well, he was also a notorious party animal and could party pretty much anybody under the table. He was quite the party boy.
Well, there's a story about Harry Nilsson, just very quickly, where the Beatles brought him in there, and he met Brian Epstein. And he decided, though, he didn't like gays, so the Beatles threw him out when he said that. That's true, apparently. And then later on, after Brian Epstein died, John Lennon hooked up with Nilsson, and they became friends.
Lennon and McCartney's, I think, favorite American vocalist.
I don't know much about the Beatles, either. So not my music.
Yeah, no. Nick, what do you think? Blitzkrieg Bop is being used as a jingle on the Peloton exercise bike commercials.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's a shame that they're not benefiting from the royalties and they're all gone,
Yeah, they're all dead.
Yeah, that's kind of wild, that their music gets used quite a lot, sports games all over the place. Yeah. But,
is Tommy still alive? I think he died too, didn't he?
Yeah, Tommy died about 18 months ago, I think. It's kind of weird that all the ones who died were all like the four originals,
Right.
And the other replacement drummers and the later towards the end.
Yeah, Mark's still around.
Yeah, he's still around. And Richie, who was in the band for a while, he's still around. And CJ, who replaced Dee when he walked out in 89, I think it was. He's still around. And even Clem Burke, who played with him for two shows but couldn't keep up, he's still alive.
Yeah. Well, you're noticing now that, the baby boomer rock star generation, it's all the party boys that are kicking off first. Bowie was notorious, had a terrible cocaine habit for years. Glenn Frey, you know, another one, just a party animal. You're noticing that, you know, we're losing all the party boys first.
Lemmy.
And, yeah.
Lemmy. Lemmy's gone.
What about Tom Petty? Tom Petty was...
Tom Petty was a major party animal.
Sure.
Heroin addict, coke addict for on and off for many years. Yeah.
Eventually, it catches up with everybody eventually when you sort of live on the edge all the time.
Well, explain the Rolling Stones to me then. How are they still around? I mean, you look at Keith Richards and you say this guy has already been dead for 50 years. Also, Chuck Berry hung out till he was in his 80s. And he was a really wild guy.
No, he was 90 when he died.
Was it 90?
Don't forget, though, with Keith Richards. Keith Richards actually gave up all the hard stuff like 30 years ago. You know, he got off heroin and everything.
Yeah, he's been clean since the mid-80s.
Yeah, I mean, I think he does. I read his autobiography and he said, no, you know, he'll have a glass of wine or whatever, but, you know, those days are gone for him as well. You know,
well,
a lot of it is.
Cigarettes.
It's changing on the image now, you know, it's his image more than anything today.
He was on the mic the other night and said something about the DEA. Don't bother me. I've been clean for 6 weeks. Pumping up the old image there, I guess, or something. Yeah, he had cigarettes are what's going to get Keith. He's been a major smoker for many years.
But, I mean, they're doing well. I mean, you know, what are they? They've got to be like early to mid-70s now, don't they? Something like that.
Bill Wyman, of course, who's not in the band anymore, he was the oldest. I think he's 80, 81 now.
Wow.
Yep, getting up there. Charlie Watts is the one that blows my mind. I mean, you know, you see all these bands that have been around, you know, 30, 40 years, and they're on their third or fourth drummer. You know, playing drums is you know, you do that 300 nights a year. I mean, it's a very physical occupation, number one. And number two, you know, you notice that drummers tend to be the wilder and crazier guys in the band generally. I'm kind of painting with a broad brushstroke there, but Charlie Watts, you really got to admire the fact that, you know, he's in his approaching mid-70s. And he's still touring and playing drums.
He's kind of more like a beat drummer, you know what I mean? Rather than somebody who's sort of really pounding, you know, the skins with, adult frills and, you know, double bass and whatever, you know.
Keith Moon, Mitch Mitchell style.
We got more to come. Not always about music. We'll get off that in a moment. We got Nick and Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Of course, you know, speaking of drummers, Ringo. He was on tour recently, and he's, what, 77 now?
Well, I don't think he's that old, but he's getting up there.
I'll look it up as you guys talk. Let's just get back to the shapeshifters, unless we have some shape-shifting drummers. How's that?
Not that I know. I haven't read the article, but I did see on Facebook there was a headline where it said Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins had said he'd seen somebody shapeshift.
Really? Well, Lady Gaga claimed that Prince Charles shapeshifted in front of her.
You see, the monarchy in the UK, they are shapeshifters. Oh, by the way, Ringo Starr turned 77 in July.
Wow. That's getting up there.
I mean, peace, love. Of course, he doesn't play the drums as heavily as others, and I gather probably in concerts, because he's singing a lot, he has others do the drumming. Paul McCartney, though, hasn't aged well at all. He looks much older than Ringo.
Why would someone like a Paul McCartney, who's worth $1 billion, why are they out touring? And I guess once it's in your blood, it's kind of hard to stop. But, man, it's not like he needs a bone.
I think a lot of it is, you know, it's like that rush when you get on stage and everybody's cheering for you and clapping and screaming. It's probably hard. It's hard to give that up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Especially if you got an ego the size of Mount Rushmore like he does.
Well, you have to have an ego like that to do what he does. If you don't, you couldn't get up on stage like that. But his voice is pretty raw these days, isn't it? He's 75, by the way.
Yeah. Speaking about raw voices, Bob Dylan for the past 10 years, I mean, he's Croaky the Frog. You can barely, you know, I mean, it's almost embarrassing that he's even still trying to pass off his voice as being lyrical and melodious.
Well, it's like Lemmy, you know. I mean, he traded on his voice But I mean, in the last year, they with Heinz, and I know he just wanted to just keep going on. You know, what else was he going to do? You know, and he sort of died just a couple of weeks after the last gig. You know, he just managed to do it. You know, just hang on. But I mean, his voice was shot 12 months before they stopped. And with hindsight, if you watch some of those last concerts, yes, it's incredible that he was almost 70 and playing a 90-minute Motorhead show, you know, three nights a week.
Yeah.
But it's incredible to do that. But also, wasn't on top form. And I think, you know, there's a case to be made that the time comes when you should stop anyway. You know what I mean? Because people remember you, unfortunately, when you're at your worst. They're like, oh, my God, remember them, that kind of thing.
So Chuck Berry was performing almost until the end, the last couple of years, I think.
Yeah.
Well, they could still do it. I mean, but it's kind of like, you know, going back to the Ramones. I mean, they're my favorite band. But, I mean, I'm glad when they split up, you know, they were all still in their 40s. Because it would be ridiculous to see a bunch of guys 65 trying to play Ramones songs at that speed. You know what I mean?
How old is Pete Townsend?
Pete Townsend, yeah, he's in his early 70s. I think Roger Daltrey's a little older, a couple of years older.
Yeah, I'm looking. He's 72, Pete Townsend.
And Daltrey, I think, 74.
I'm looking. Then we have to get back to shape-shifting. He's actually, let's see.
He's classified.
Yeah, he's a year older. He's a year older, so he's like 73 now, I guess. Anyway, all right, let's get back to reality here, or whatever. If someone wants to start looking into Legends of Shapeshifters, where in your book can you point them to a starting point?
Oh, well, that's a good question. I mean, you know, I think it's inevitable that people are going to be sort of driven to werewolf-type stories. But what I would say, for sort of for the modern era, you know, you have this new version of the werewolf, which is known as the Dogman. It's like a politically correct term for people who don't want to use the term werewolf because it seems so bizarre, you know. Now, there actually aren't a lot of reports of dogmen, you know, allegedly changing from human to dogman. In fact, they're almost non-existent, ironically. But you do get a lot of reports of these so-called dogmen figures, like the Black Dogs of England, where they transform from being on four limbs to two. Now, the dogman phenomenon is very much like an ongoing one. A good friend of mine, Linda Godfrey, has written like five or six books on the subject. She gets so many reports. So I'd say to people, you know, if you're interested in the shape-shifting angle, make a start with the dogman issue because, you know, reports are still being made, as I said, and it's a very much an ongoing mystery and a lot of ongoing research, and that will sort of give you some insight into what people have said about these creatures running on four limbs like a gigantic wolf, and they stand up and their legs kind of change a bit and they're more humanoid. So, you know, that's very kind of relevant time-wise to where we are now, so that would be definitely a good place to start.
Well, Linda Godfrey's been on a couple of times on the PowerCast. I urge listeners to look them up because she really is really a nice woman and has a lot of fascinating stories to tell, definitely.
Yeah.
So we want to do that.
I would suggest that one, yeah.
Definitely going to focus on that one there.
Yeah, and of course, sometimes, you know, the more I write about these things, and I think that I'm sure Chris gets this too with his books, you know, people do contact you when there's something relevant to, you know, that's relevant to them, you know, and if you've written about it. So that does sometimes make it easier when people approach you rather than you have to try and find the stories.
Well, there's an impression here, I think, also, Nick, that a lot of these shape-shifting stories are not new. But that's not the case. You're getting stuff all the time, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, that actually is a good point because even when people think of werewolves, they think of, like, Eastern Europe in the 1700s or whatever, you know, and some little village in East Germany where the, you know, they get the local priest out and the whatever, you know, to kill the vampire or the werewolf. But no, you're right that, I mean, shapeshift, these big thicket Bigfoot-type stories I was talking about changing into balls of light, the most recent one I have from the Big Thicket, I think is about 4 years ago. The Black Dogs are still being seen in England. Not as much, granted, as they used to be, but people do still see them. And, you know, these flying humanoid things, we still get to see them. So, you know, it's very much an ongoing phenomenon. But I think the problem is that we kind of touched on earlier that these cases are so bizarre in many respects that people, a lot of the time, people just don't want to talk about them because the weirder it is, the more worried they are about their reputations, you know.
Well, certainly you're not worried about that.
No,
you came out with a book on shape-shifting.
No, I have no reputation or, you know, sense of having to worry about what I say. I say what I say. If people like it, that's fine. If people like it or don't like it, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. You know, I'm going to say what I think and put out what I think. And if people like it, that's good. People think Nick's crazy. Well, I'll give them a middle finger, you know, so what?
Well, here's something right here. In August 2016, the author, that's you, sir, visited the site of many of the Defiance, Ohio Wolfman encounters from 1972. You were trying to do the research. Hands-on, direct on the scene.
Well, yeah, I mean, I always try and do this. You know, I mean, like with the Big Thicket, I've been there many times. I've been to Point Pleasant many times, Puerto Rico. I always think it's important, if you're going to do investigative work, to go to the places. Now, the one you talked about, Defiance, Ohio, this is one of the very few cases I have on record from a relatively recent time where the witnesses were sure that this creature was a human turned into a werewolf. Now, Defiance is a little town in Ohio.
Let's tell the story in our final segment.
Okay.
We'll hear the story about what happened in Defiance, Ohio.
Okay.
You should know somebody who lived there. I don't think he was a werewolf.
You never know, though.
Gene, Nick, and Chris, it's your turn, Nick. You're in
the Paracast!
What was that, your English football announcer voice?
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Dr. Carolyn Dean wants you to have a free chapter of her new book, The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition, and it's available at magmiracle.com. In your free chapter, Dr. Carolyn Dean explains how magnesium is essential to support the structure and function and overall health of your body. Your free chapter is your guide to learn how to support your heart, bone, metabolic, lung, and mental health with this powerful mineral. The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition is available on Amazon, but right now get a free chapter at magmiracle.com, spelled M-A-G, miracle.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
If you're a sleep apnea sufferer who's on the go, go to your phone and call right now to try the world's first portable mini CPAP device, absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP, an engineering marvel that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. Its unique design is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. No more dragging around a big, bulky CPAP. Even better, now you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights by calling MiniCPAP.com, 1-800-962-4276. Transcend is FAA compliant, too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. You can also add a battery pack that's as tiny as a deck of cards. So now you can enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. But don't wait. To receive your 10-night in-home trial, call MiniCPAP.com now. 1-800-962-4276. That's 1-800-962-4276.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
That must have been your British soccer announcer voice.
Well, something along those lines. I am big into soccer, so it could be.
Well, the only thing is, if you keep doing that, somebody will sock you.
True. The Defiance Werewolf story is a weird one. It dates back to 1972, and in the summer months, what happened was that there were an initial wave of sightings near an old railroad that runs through the town, and which is still there to this day. It hasn't really changed at all, just the old buildings have just been repainted, et cetera, et cetera. But what was happening was that, you know, you had some of the guys who were working shifts, so they're working through the night on the railroad, and they were the ones, the initial people, who reported seeing what looks like one of these so-called dog men that I mentioned earlier, but with one difference, it was wearing like tattered clothes, sort of no shoes or anything, but a tattered shirt, tattered pants, as if it had sort of, you know, burst out of its regular clothing and grown, and the clothes had split. And of course, at first people laughed, but you know, these railroad staff were adamant about what they'd seen. Then other people around town, it's not a big town, heard these weird howlings in the middle of the night. People reported hearing scratches on the front doors. And the police got involved. They actually even opened a file, you know, what you could arguably call a real-life X-file. And maybe, you know, through the Freedom of Information Act, you might still be able to get that. You know, it's probably stored away in the vaults or the old dusty filing cabinets at the police station. But the police took the story very seriously, and the local media in and around Defiance all covered this story for roughly 2 months, from about July to the start of July to the end of August in 1972, and it was actually, as I said, taken very, very seriously because multiple people were seeing this creature. And so when I had a chance, I went out there last year, just roughly round about this time last year, a little bit earlier, with a bunch of friends, Lyle Blackburn, who's written a couple of books on Bigfoot, and Ken Gerhard, who's written a book called On the Encounters with Flying Humanoids. And it was kind of cool to see the original location, which, as I said, hasn't changed much. And, you know, sort of lots of woodland and rivers and, you know, the ideal place if it was a real flesh and blood animal. But like so many of these events, you know, it came to a sudden end and the creature was gone. But that's one of the very few from a relatively modern era that I've got where people were actually talking about seeing a wolf-like creature that literally changed from, you know, a guy around town that nobody identified as the werewolf. But that, for all intents and purposes, that's what people were thinking, that there was somebody in town who, at the sight of a full moon, would literally change into a werewolf. But those cases are extremely sort of few and far between.
Well, this is so long ago, 1972. Have there been more recent things there in Defiance? Or was this a singular set of events?
What I should stress, I mean, that's the, granted, it's 45 years ago, so it's not recent. But compared to, what I meant was, compared to, you know, the 300 or 400-year-old cases, it is recent. But what I would say is that all the cases I've got, and nearly all the ones that Linda has got, Linda Godfrey, there is barely a handful where there's been a human component with the dogman. It's always, the dogman is just always the dogman, even though it has the ability to stand on two legs and four. But there are very, very few, maybe three or four out of all the six books that Linda's written where somebody claims that, you know, they saw a person change into one of these things. So that angle today is pretty much out of the picture, you know, in terms of what defines a dogman or a werewolf. It's not, you know, somebody gets bitten and then full moon comes along, you know, they start growing fangs and fur and whatever hair. It's not like that today, you know, even if it was with the old legends.
Where did those legends begin about biting someone, a werewolf, for example, and that person develops the disease? It sounds like a contagious disease kind of myth.
Well, I think more inclined to think there were multiple reasons as to why these stories might develop. One could be, you know, a crazy person who has, you know, lycanthropy, where they literally think they are changing. You know, one of the intriguing things about the story of the Beast of Gévaudan, France, this creature that supposedly slaughtered numerous people in the 1700s, one of the theories was that it could have been a captured hyena or an exotic animal brought into France from, you know, possibly Africa, somewhere like that. I don't think there's just one explanation for stories like werewolves. You know, there could have been, somebody may well have been attacked by a pack of vicious big wolves. Somebody else had lycanthropy. You know, one could have been an exotic animal perceived as a wolf or a wolf man. And we have the supernatural angle of the dogman. So, you know, you put all those angles together and they unify into one sort of cohesive angle of the werewolf, you know, but it's actually several things coming together and becoming unified.
I can suppose also someone sustains or contracts some kind of disease that causes growths on their face or body. And therefore, you know, the legend can go, well, they were bitten by something and they became another creature, and a little bit of exaggeration turns them into werewolves, I guess.
One good example or one good possibility, you know, if somebody got bitten by a rabid dog and, you know, got rabies, you can find footage online of people in the final stages of rabies. They're deranged. Somebody with rabies in the final stages, that's like the closest thing you could imagine to like a real zombie outbreak. You know, they're just psychotic almost at times. So if there were people on the loose, bitten by a rabid dog, rabid wolf, no cure, it wouldn't surprise me at all if some might have been born out of some tragic character who got rabies.
So The Walking Dead is about shape-shifting because you turn into this other creature.
Well, I guess you do. That's right, yeah. That's another type of shifting, yeah.
And we have this obsession now with zombies. I don't understand that at all, but then maybe I'm too old to care.
The Walking Dead, but I mean, there's a lot of garbage out there as well. I like that show, but even I think, like your favorite band, it's time to wrap it up and let's go out on a high and not just drag it out forever and a day. You know?
The classic example of dragging it out and milking the cow would be Ancient Aliens. I thought that show, if they were lucky, they were going to get three seasons out of it, and it's just absolutely, I'm flabbergasted that they've been able to milk that cow for what, I think 12 years now?
The last time I was on it was the last time I was on it, because I kind of feel the same. You know, it had its run. But I've always been like that with everything. You know, like my favorite athletes or bands, I think there's a time to stop, and I think, you know, that's, you can relate that to any aspect of life, really, when it has a time limit on it. Yeah, you know, something else will come along, like another paranormal show or whatever, and it'll be a hit for a while, and then something else and something else.
They'll stop doing Star Trek retreads. In fact, the latest show, Star Trek Discovery, is really called Star Trek Retread. Now, some people actually like it. I only saw the one episode because I don't want to subscribe to another streaming service to see it.
I actually haven't watched any Star Trek or any, since I was probably like 5 or 6. I was a little guy, maybe 11. But I remember watching the original series when I was a little kid, when it was broadcast in the sort of late mid-70s in England. But other than that, and people are kind of surprised because I'm not really into sci-fi. You know, I've never watched anything like any of these other shows like Babylon 5 or Battlestar Galactica. I've never seen any of them. I've never seen any of the Star Wars movies. I've never seen any of the Lord of the Rings movies.
Okay, where can we find more of your stuff, Nick Redfern?
My blog, World of Whatever. Just type in Nick Redfern plus World of Whatever, you'll find me. Or the Twitter, Nick Redfern UFO. Or you can find me on Facebook. All the books you can get from Amazon, and most of them from Barnes & Noble.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the PowerCast. Look for 2 PowerCast fan clubs on Facebook. Look for Chris O'Brien's site, OurStrangePlanet.com, for new stuff. Check out the PowerCast Plus at plus.thepowercast.com. We have some new stuff, plus some shows that you actually have to get a second login from Paul to see. And they're going up in the PowerCast Plus with the After the PowerCast podcast and other goodies. To learn more, go to plus.thepowercast.com. That's plus.thepowercast.com. Subscriptions start just $1.49 a week. So glad to have you back. Nick Redfern, thanks for joining us on the PowerCast.
Yeah, thanks, Nick.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks a lot. See you later.
The PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The PowerCast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's ROCKOIDS.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.